Tonight, the president calls the American immigration system a mockery and says those who enter illegally should be sent back without court cases. The hard line has promised reunions of children and parents offer challenges of their own. A future king of England and the president's son-in-law crisscross the Middle East, one promising positivity, the other a long-awaited plan for peace. They marched on Washington. Now they're demanding the right to vote. Are 16-year-olds too young to cast a ballot? Millions of parents addicted to opioids, a record number of kids in foster care, an innovative program says it can solve both problems at once. And alone on a plane, a blind and deaf man couldn't communicate until she stepped forward to help.
This is NBC Nightly News with Kate Snow.
Good evening. Since the day he announced his candidacy, President Trump has promised a tough line on immigration and border security. This morning on Twitter, he took it to a new level, deriding current U.S. immigration policy as, quote, laughed at all over the world, and calling for people who enter the U.S. illegally to be immediately sent back without seeing a judge. Those comments coming as protests continue on the border. And there are more questions tonight about what's happening to children who were separated from their parents. We begin with the president's new language and Kelly O'Donnell at the White House.
During the president's motorcade ride to his Virginia golf course today, he fired off on Twitter, ignoring existing legal rights for undocumented immigrants. We must immediately, with no judges or court cases, bring them back from where they came. The president's edict fails to recognize constitutional due process, long-established case law that grants that protection to non-citizens. But that did not stop the idea from bubbling this week.
I don't want judges. I want border security.
I don't want judges. I want Border Patrol. I want ICE.
The president vents his frustration at Congress after House Republicans could not decide on legislation to address the border crisis, and he made Democrats his target.
It's the Democrats' fault, but it wouldn't be their fault for long if they sat down with us. We could make a deal so quickly.
Democrats, including some who made trips to the border this week, argue their party has been kept out of negotiations, an impasse that fuels the campaign year fight. Illinois Democrat Luis Gutierrez.
It's wrong to separate babies, to use cruel, inhumane policies in order to gin up your political base. And it seems like it's working.
In a new interview with Christian media outlet TBN, the president says he wants to impose a financial punishment on migrants' home countries in Central America.
Well, you take a country like Honduras or so many others, they're sending people into our country by the thousands. I think we should stop giving them money.
But just days ago, Vice President Pence met the leader of Honduras here at the White House and declared a strong partnership.
Officials say the vice president will travel to Central and South America this week, including a stop in Guatemala, where many migrants at the U.S. border now come from. I'm told immigration is not officially on the agenda, but it'll be hard to avoid. The president heads back out tomorrow on the campaign trail, where illegal immigration is a fault line. And Congress is expected to try again to legislate some kind of solution to ease the crisis. Kate?
Kelly O'Donnell at the White House for us. Kelly, thank you. Protests are getting heated down at the border as plans for the reunification of families continue. But an incident today has people concerned about children falling through the cracks. Our Gabe Gutierrez is in Brownsville, Texas with that.
Tonight, the border battle is escalating. Immigration activists rallying outside a tent city near El Paso.
Don't detain these families. It's not right. It's immoral.
And now new questions about the security of migrant children. Police in Texas confirm a 15-year-old boy ran away from this massive shelter in Brownsville yesterday. A source with direct knowledge says he was in the process of being reunited with a parent, but ran away first and is now believed to be in Mexico en route to Honduras. The nonprofit that runs the shelter says, "We are not a detention center. We talk to them and try to get them to stay. If they leave the property, we call law enforcement." The Department of Health and Human Services says it's still caring for more than 2,000 separated minors. And many say the process of reuniting them with their adult caregivers will not be easy.
How confusing is this process for them? It's completely confusing. They don't know the law, they don't speak the language, and they're being told conflicting things.
Tonight, migrants like Yolani Mencia are hoping for that reunion, but the confusion is extending 2,000 miles away. In Honduras, her mother Maria wants to know when she'll see her grandson again. Six-year-old Ederson was separated from his mother on his sixth birthday after they crossed into the U.S. illegally. They now think he's in a shelter in Arizona. This hurts my soul, she says. I can't talk to them. Federal authorities say that within 24 hours at arriving at an HHS-funded facility like this one, children are given the opportunity to communicate with a vetted parent. The Department of Homeland Security insists that it does know the location of all the children in its custody. Kate?
Gabe Gutierrez, thank you. Those efforts to reunite families are obviously meant to help the children, but the moment when a child finds his parents again can be more complicated than you might think. NBC's Matt Bradley has been speaking with psychologists about the confusion and resentment that sometimes comes along with a joyous reunion.
The images are heart-wrenching. A mother and her 7-year-old son reunited after being forced apart. It made me sad, she says. It put me in tears. I started crying when I saw him because he's the only child I have.
It's going to be a lot of work.
But child psychologists like Harvard professor Jack Shunkoff say reunifications can be as fraught as the separation itself.
From the simplest to the most complicated, that reunification will be the most important critical healing thing that we can do to begin.
It's impossible to know what the children are thinking. She says, look at that little face of his. He's sad, but we're going to be together now. No one's going to separate us. Experts say those hardened faces may point to a resentment some parents don't expect.
They may feel sometimes mistrusting. Why wasn't my parent able to prevent this from happening? Why weren't they able to care for me? Why did they abandon me?
A moment that risks misunderstanding and may require expert attention.
Oftentimes, it's just repeating very simple messages that I love you, I'm very sorry for what happened to you, I didn't want to leave you or to be separated from you.
Taking time to heal and to make up for time lost. Matt Bradley, NBC News.
And tonight, by the way, you can see much more reporting from the border in our Dateline special, The Dividing Line. NBC's Jacob Soboroff traveled the entire 2,000 miles to find out what life is like along the U.S. southern border. That's tonight, 7 Eastern, 6 Central. Let's head overseas now to the Mideast, where the future King of England arrived today for a high-profile tour around the region. At the same time, the president's son-in-law is there, promising a long-awaited peace plan with or without the input from the Palestinian president. NBC's Keir Simmons is in Amman this evening. Good evening, Keir.
Good evening, Kate. Prince William arriving here in Jordan this afternoon and already speaking out, praising Jordan for welcoming hundreds of thousands of Syrian refugees. Later this week, he will meet with Israeli and Palestinian leaders, hoping those close to him tell me to bring a new sense of positivity to this region. But just last week, Israeli forces launched airstrikes against Palestinian militant positions inside Gaza. And tonight, the long-awaited Trump administration's Israeli-Palestinian peace plan could be published without the cooperation of Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas, according to the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Already, Palestinian leaders are refusing to speak to the White House after President Trump announced the U.S. embassy would be moved to Jerusalem. The White House and a future British king trying to make a difference in different ways where so many have failed. Kate?
Keir Simmons, thank you. The president of Turkey is claiming victory in critical elections tonight, despite the leading opposition party saying the results are incomplete. President Recep Erdogan was facing the strongest challenge to his power in years. Changes to the Turkish constitution set to take hold after this election would give the president even more power. And from Turkey to Saudi Arabia now, where history was made today, women there have been given the green light to drive. NBC's Kelly Kobiyeya joined them on a joyride that's been a long time coming.
Tonight, a victory lap for women's rights. Across Saudi Arabia, women hit the road for the first time, ending a decades-old ban.
It's really historic, not only for Saudi women, for every woman. We achieved something.
Until now, women relied on drivers or male relatives to get to work and school, risking a fine, even arrest for driving themselves.
It will be easier to get around whenever I want and to go wherever I want. financially, it will take less of my paycheck.
The move, part of the young Saudi crown prince Mohammed bin Salman's massive reform effort.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Women like Asil Al-Hamad can now start their own businesses without a man's permission. She's an interior designer with a passion for fast cars.
We're so happy because women have proven themselves in many aspects. It's nice to be in control and to be in the driver's seat, right?
Yeah.
Women here still don't have complete control over their own lives. They need a man's permission to get a passport, travel abroad, or get married.
Even as the government opens the roads to women, it's cracking down on women's rights activists. Yet many women told me the country is changing for the better.
We're happy and we want more now.
You want more now?
Yes.
For Saudi women, it's full speed ahead. Kelly Kobieya, NBC News, Riyadh.
The idea that children thrive when they're with their parents is at the heart of that immigration debate we've been talking so much about. But it's also at the center of a unique approach to treating some of the millions of people struggling with opioids. In our series, One Nation Overdose, Ron Allen takes us now to a program in Chicago getting remarkable results.
Come on, you got it.
This fun-filled day is actually a revolutionary approach to helping moms like Christy Partika fight years of addiction to heroin and pain pills. Her motivation, her two-year-old son, Jace.
I wake up happy and grateful every day now. He is my everything. He brightens my day.
Christy is part of the Maryville St. Monica Mothers Recovery Center, a unique program in Chicago that keeps mothers and their children together throughout the addiction recovery process in a safe and stable place.
If I did not have my son here, it would be a lot more difficult to stay clean.
Only 10% of residential treatment centers keep parents and kids together.
There's a lot of thinking that children need to be sheltered from the ugly side of life. We believe that families are far better off staying together.
While the kids go to school or daycare, the moms get counseling and treatment, along with lessons on becoming better parents.
That comes from mommy and her being so attentive.
Katrina Ivory teaches how to care for children, healthy eating, patience.
Miss Katrina has taught me how to deal with his temper tantrums, how to correctly discipline him.
I'm always in awe of these women because no matter what the battles are, the struggles are, they continue.
Audrey Nelson has been battling addiction for 20 years.
I'm a big man.
And says that since starting this program, she and her children, AJ and Alexis, all are healthier. And Alexis, who has Down syndrome, has even started talking.
Say amen. I'm a big girl.
What do you want for your kids?
I want them to have a sober mom. I want the best for them, like any mom would want.
Christy, in her sixth try at recovery, hopes to leave this summer after a typical six-month stay.
I really feel this time it's going to be different.
Yeah.
Because of this place.
Because of this place. They have changed me. I strongly feel this place has saved my life.
In its first 2 years, at least 34 mothers have completed the program. Maryville believes all have maintained their recovery and all are still taking care of their children. Ron Allen, NBC News, Chicago.
I wish them all the best. Now to a touching moment, catching the eyes of many across the country, a random act of kindness that left passengers on board a recent Alaska Airlines flight feeling just a little bit better about the world.
Tim Cook was flying alone from Portland to Los Angeles last week when flight attendants realized he might need some help. Cook is both blind and deaf, so the flight attendants asked if anyone on board knew American Sign Language. That's when 15-year-old Clara Daly volunteered. Turns out she'd been learning it for the past year. She kneeled next to Cook, signing into his hand so he could feel it and understand her words.
I thought maybe someday I would run into someone who needed my help in a small variation, but not to this extent.
For Cook, the contact was a comfort.
I remember we're very moved, happy with you for you to come and talk with me. Maybe a rhyme, maybe it was meant to be, who knows?
A fellow passenger posted photos of the two on Facebook. It's now been shared over 500,000 times. One noting, this story is so needed right now. Another writing, such a great reminder of all the good in this world. Daly thinks anyone can learn from Cook and take time to enjoy life's unexpected chances to connect.
He took such joy in a small, like, conversation that we take for granted. So that's my takeaway. Don't take stuff for granted.
And by the way, all of that happened by accident. Clara was only on that flight because her original flight had been canceled. Still ahead tonight, bringing their voices all the way to the ballot box, the spirit is strong among these teenagers determined to get the vote, the right to vote. Also, the tech titan telling you to take a time out. There will no doubt be a host of hotly contested issues on the ballot this fall, and one of them could be about the right to vote itself and whether it should be extended to 16-year-olds in Washington, D.C. That would mark the first time people at that age would be eligible to vote in a national election. A hearing is set for this week, but as NBC's Morgan Radford tells us, not everyone is convinced.
Alex Shire is taking his passion for politics to the streets.
We're energized. We know the issues.
But because he's just 16 years old, he can't actually vote. That's why he joined Vote 16 USA, a group for teenagers run by teenagers across the nation. Their mission? To lower the voting age to 16, just in time for the next presidential election.
We pay taxes. We have jobs. We have to be at those jobs on time. We have to be at school on time, or there will be penalties.
Just four other cities allow 16-year-olds to vote, including Tacoma Park, Maryland, where former Councilman Tim Mayle led the charge in 2013.
Just seemed like an obvious thing that we could talk about doing.
He found that 16 and 17-year-olds voted at more than twice the rate of adults.
They're respectful, they're mature, they can provide detailed positions. I don't know how to say no to somebody like that.
But skeptics remain.
Do they serve on juries? Are they able to get credit cards? Do they hold full-time jobs and pay taxes to the government? No, 16-year-olds are still in the learning phase.
What are some of the craziest or most offensive reasons you've heard for why you shouldn't be able to vote now?
That we will vote like our parents. Honestly, my mother knows nothing about politics, and I feel like with me being able to vote, I will be able to teach her.
Which is why they're lobbying council members to vote yes at this week's hearing to determine if their proposal goes before the city council this fall.
If you get this thing passed, what message does that send?
That we're actively engaged and that we matter.
And we do so much in our community, so why don't you want to give us the voice at a ballot box?
Morgan Radford, NBC News, Washington.
We're back in a moment with gay pride celebrations from all corners of the globe. Hundreds of thousands of people across the globe took to the streets celebrating Gay Pride today, from India, Chile, and Mexico to right here at home. Rainbow flags were out in full force for the LGBTQ community. A familiar face, tennis legend Billie Jean King, joining the parade as a grand marshal here in New York City. Facebook is now developing a tool to tell you when you've spent too much time on Facebook. The social network will soon allow users to set timers to better measure and manage their daily dose. It comes after a string of setbacks for the tech giant, with CEO Mark Zuckerberg now pushing to increase the well-being of its users. The Smithsonian National Zoo is placing the panda habitat on pause tonight with hopes that a little baby might be on the way. Zoo officials say Meish Young is now showing signs of both pregnancy or maybe false pregnancy. The potentially expectant mom has been building a nest, sleeping more, and eating less. The birthday caller bringing cheer to folks on their special day.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Finally tonight, a memorable melody from the voice of an angel. Kevin Tibbles introduces us to the man touching hearts of so many on their special day.
The early birds are up, and Carl Webb's fingers are already pecking out the numbers. At 99 years of age, he can't visit everyone on his birthday list.
Well, happy birthday to you.
But no one is going to miss out on Carl's message of love.
Singing brings you joy.
Oh, my goodness. I wouldn't be alive without it.
What's so special about this deeply religious man with the golden voice? He's been making these calls every day to the congregation of his church and even complete strangers for 18 years. And he's got a drawer full of number cards to prove it.
All told, how many calls do you think you've made?
Somewhere between 35 and 36,000 times of singing a happy birthday. And before long, I think I'm going to learn all the words to happy birthday.
The phone numbers are compiled by friends at Westminster Presbyterian Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
It's just the creativity that he's come up with. I mean, he has figured out a way to serve.
Carl's been singing since childhood. He's even recorded an album with his family. But these days, he spreads the love from his apartment in the home of daughter Betsy.
Not a day goes by that I don't get somebody coming up to me and saying, thank you, Dad, for that call. It just, I've saved it on my machine and I'll listen to it over and over if I'm having a bad day.
And just watch the eyes light up as that melodious message arrives.
Happy birthday to you.
When Carl couldn't be in church on his birthday, everyone recorded a song just for him.
Carl, are you a bit of a ham?
Bit of a ham? A reek of ham.
Love, positivity, kindness, friendship. Our world needs more Carl Webbs.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
For whatever love he sows, Carl reaps tenfold in return, which, of course, he shares next time there's a birthday. Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, Greensboro, North Carolina.
And 99 years young. That is NBC Nightly News for this Sunday night. Lester Holt will be with you tomorrow. I'm Kate Snow. For all of us here at NBC News, have a great night.